come and receive ministry, whether they want to be by themselves or want someone to pray with them. Our altar is always open, always available, and we're thankful for that. Amen? Amen. In a moment, we're going to read Scripture together in unison, but before we do that, we need to bless our children and release them for Children's Church so they can go on out. Let's bless them as they go. Hallelujah. We're going to read from the Scriptures this morning, Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 12. It'll be on the screen, or if you want to read it out of your Bible, please feel free. But let's read the Lord's Word out of reverence and respect together. And we'll begin Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Let's begin. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? So, in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. May the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His Word. You may be seated. And I'm going to ask my brother, John Rich, one of our elders, to come and pray over us.
We're all right. Everything's all right.
I'll take it.
Oh, Lord, Lord, Lord. Father, we come before you this morning with a loud mic. And we hope that you hear us. And we hope that there's someone in this house that will hear your word, Father, that's given to you today by Pastor Tom. That the Holy Spirit will rule in him today, Lord. That your voice will be heard, your words understood, and taken to heart, and the Holy Spirit will come in, and that there'll be a unity between God and the person that really needs to hear your word today, Lord. That bless this man of God, Father. Bless his family. Keep this body safe. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. In the bulletin is an outline that will go along with the message. If you find that helpful, if you don't have one of those, then if you'll raise your hand, one of our ushers has extras in the back there on the rack. Gentlemen, if you'll give one of those outlines to those who have their hands raised, we'd appreciate that very much. I left Friday afternoon before I got the outline done for Sue to put it in the bulletin. And I told her, don't worry about it. We may not even have one. But the Lord enabled me to be back and give the word. Ashley was on deck.
Ready.
He was ready. And I appreciate that, brother. He took their Sunday school class. Cameron, there's two right there. There you go. And I think we have several more. That outline will go along with the message and will go along with the PowerPoint presentation. Now, if it's messed up, the only person you can blame is me. Can't blame Miss Sue. She didn't have anything to do with it. So this week, as I got back from our trip last weekend, I was listening to the messages that have been preached in these weeks past. It's a pleasure to listen to Ashley's message from several weeks ago when I was on vacation. And my message this morning, I'm actually picking up from his message where he left off. Ashley preached on Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, that says, where Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me. Take my yoke upon yourself and learn of me, for I am gentle and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Great job, brother. Appreciated that good word. I listened to a little bit of Brother Art's word last week. I didn't get through it all before I had to actually leave on Friday, so I'll finish that up as well. But as always, that was a very unusual and inspiring message with our Brother Art. And amen. Thank you. So, picking up from Ashley's message last week, I'm assuming from that message that if you're here today and you heard that message, and you heard that invitation of Jesus Christ, where he said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened." And I think that just about describes all of us. In some way, shape, or form, we are weary and burdened. The stuff of life that we deal with is burdensome. Life is difficult in many, many ways. And so I trust that if you heard that message and you're here this morning, that you've come to Jesus Christ. You've come to him, and you have allowed Jesus Christ to teach you, to show you what it means to follow him. I have another message that's going to come out of this very verse, and Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light." You see, Jesus does have a yoke for us. Jesus does have a burden for us. There is a calling for us as Christians, but that's another sermon. Today, I want to talk about the fact that when you're yoked with Jesus, when you come alongside and you gather your life into the hands and the yoke of Jesus Christ, then there is blessings, there are provisions, there are promises for us. And here's one of them from Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 12. I know it's a familiar verse to many of you, but the Lord put some things on my heart that I want to share with you that I believe will be both a hope, a challenge, and an encouragement to you. And the main point of this passage is this, is that our Heavenly Father wants to give good gifts. He will give good gifts for our needs when we seek Him in faith, not only for ourselves, but so that we can then bless others. Do you see that? Hear it? Not only does the Lord want to give you good gifts for yourself and your needs, but as He does that, He wants you then to treat others in the same way that you're being blessed. You see, we so often come to the Lord and we say, "Lord, I have needs. I have needs." And then we look at others and say, "I know you have needs, but, you know, tough luck. You know, I've got my own needs." And the Lord wants us to understand He's giving to you, He's blessing you, He's giving you a good gift so that you can be a blessing not only to yourself and your family, your concerns, but to others. That's what the body of Christ is all about. So He gives us good gifts. Now, watch this. He gives us good gifts. That's what Jesus says here, right? Verse 11. "If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him?" It is a gift that He gives to us. Guess what? Gifts are not deserved. Gifts are not deserved, but they're given from His grace. The things that we need in our life, you know, we often take this attitude, you know, "I deserve this. I have rights. It's about me. You know, my life, my needs, my concerns. Come on, Lord, get with it." Recently, I've been talking with some people and they're just frustrated with God. You ever get frustrated with God? Yeah, got a couple of honest people here. The rest of you are lying. Get frustrated with God. You say, "God, what's up? Why aren't you answering this? Why aren't you fixing my wife? And my wife is saying, "Why aren't you fixing my husband?" And we get frustrated with God. We have situations that linger, issues that never get resolved. family matters, financial struggles, job issues. And sometimes we get frustrated with God and we forget. We forget that we don't deserve anything. There's nothing that we deserve except separation from God and hell. If you want to be honest about it, we don't deserve those things, but God, out of His grace and love and mercy, gives us not only gifts, but good gifts. Isn't that what He says? Isn't that what Jesus says? Your Father in heaven, He will give good gifts to those who ask. None of us deserves anything. Let's press on. Now, as we look at this passage, I thought about this, you know, just reading verses 7 and 8. Ask and will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Can you imagine if that, just that passage of Scripture, just those two verses, if that was taken out of the context and presented just as such, right? I mean, Oprah could present that on her program, right? Chakra could put it on, because, oh yeah, you're gonna, if you ask and you're gonna receive, the force will give it to you. I can hear Obi-Wan, you know, before him and saying, I'm asking, but the force has not given it to me. You know, we have to understand, who is it that we're asking? Who is it that we're seeking? Who is it that we're knocking for? It's not the force. It's not, you know, karma. We're calling upon our Heavenly Father. And that's why you have to come to Jesus first. No one comes to the Father but through me. And so you come to the Father, and then we ask of our Father. And our Heavenly Father wants to give good gifts. There's a passage of Scripture that relates to this before I move further into the message. James chapter 2, verses 2 through 3. And Jay Johns will read that for us.
Comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in shabby clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, here's a good seat for you, but say to the poor man, you stand there or sit on the floor by my feet.
Okay, so this is one of those errors from late in the morning. Les, could you put the next frame from the PowerPoint up and let Jay read that one? Thank you.
You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures.
One more time, Jay.
You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures.
Ouch. Man, James, man, what you got to be so harsh for, brother? Don't you like Jesus' words rather than James's words? Now, Jesus is giving us the heart of the Father toward us. And He's giving us direction. He's giving us insight and revelation. On the other hand, James has been instructed by God to give the human perspective. He's been given revelation by God for correction, for exhortation. They're both important. They balance each other. And you know, here's the basis. So many of us don't get our needs met because of this very reason. There it is. You know, we come to God with this attitude. And so many of us have been, you know, been watching the TV and we hear these false preachers on there that, hey, God is all about you. And if you just come to Him and you just tell Jesus that you're with Him, that, man, you're going to be blessed. And if you send in that $100, you're going to get $10,000 back. God's going to make you rich. I'm going to send you this water from the bay. And you sprinkle this water on your checkbook. And you're going to get 100-fold on your return. I mean, you get all kind of crazy stuff like this on TV. On the radio, too, on the internet. Now, there's a lot of good preachers and there's a lot of good teaching. But there's some whack stuff out there. And generally speaking, in America, the culture, we have this attitude that somehow God owes us. Somehow, God, you've got to meet my needs. God, you've made some promises and man, you better fulfill them to me. We come with this attitude to God. And He's up there in heaven and He sees these little ants shaking their fists at Him, talking to Him. What do you think God's thinking up there? No, I know Jesus is in our heart. I understand that, but God is on His throne as well. Amen? And so, we ask sometimes with the wrong motives. You and I, preaching to myself, we need to check our hearts. We need to check our attitude. Check our motivation. Why am I asking for the things I'm asking for? We need to check our hearts. Let's unpack it a little bit. Number one, Father God loves us. And He wants to meet our needs. And He wants to give us good gifts. But we must ask, seek, and knock. That's what Jesus says. We must ask, seek, and knock. This is it's repeated. The parallel version is over in Luke chapter 11, verses 5 through 10. And what is He talking about here? It is in the context of our needs, right? Chapter 6 of Matthew, verses 31 through 32. He's already been talking about it. In fact, when He's talking about asking for our needs, that we all need things, and in that passage He says, don't worry about those things. Do not be worrying. Do not be anxious. Right? And then verses 31 and 32 of chapter 6, He says, you know, so do not worry saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? That almost covers it, right? Eat, drink, clothes, the only thing it's left out is housing. It's not meant to be exhaustive. It's simply meant to be representative of our needs. And so He says, don't worry about those things. Verse 32 of chapter 6, for the pagans run after all these things, and your Heavenly Father knows that you need them. Did you ever get the thought sometimes that God doesn't know what your needs are? You know what that is? That's a carnal thought. That is a carnal thought. That's coming out of a rebellious heart. Because Jesus says, right from the words of Jesus, right from His lips, He says, your Father knows what you need even before you ask. And so, we get this attitude with God. God, you don't know what my needs, you don't understand me. You've never been down here. Hello. I think His Son, Jesus, God's Son, was here in the flesh and understood these things. He was here. And so it's in the context of our needs. And so, as we look at this, there, you will see a progression here. And watch these words of Jesus very carefully, because we have a responsibility in this. Yes, God wants to meet our needs, but there is a responsibility for us. He says, Jesus says back in chapter 7, verse 7, ask. Ask, and it will be given to you. Now, stop right there for a second. When it says, ask, and it will be given to you, there is an assumption in that. And here's what it is. You want to know? Really?
Yeah.
I don't hear everybody. You really want to know it?
Yeah.
I'm just making sure you're with me and you're awake. Here's what He says. Ask, there's an implication that we understand what our needs are enough to ask. You see it? There's an implication that we understand what our needs are enough so that we ask. You know, your car blows up and all of a sudden you need a car. Oh God, I need the Lexus that I've wanted for a long time. I really need it, Lord. Lord, that Maserati that I saw on TV the other day, I really need that. God. And God's waiting for you to stop being a knucklehead and say, God, I guess I really need a Honda or a Hyundai or whatever your budget can afford or whatever gift of a car that God would give to you. You see, you have to have a right understanding, right account of yourself and right account of the situation. Now, I know we don't have a lot of good examples when it comes to the rich and famous Christians and televangelists and preachers and teachers. I can't comprehend. I really can't see Jesus driving around in a Lexus. And I can't see Jesus living in a $10 million mansion. Maybe that's just me. And maybe you disagree with that, and that's fine. But I just have a hard time with that. And you see, we have to have a right account of ourselves and a right account of our situation. No, you don't need a Lexus. You don't need a BMW. You don't need a $10 million mansion. You need some basic needs met. In fact, if I just read that right, it didn't say anything about wheels, did it? It said food, drink, and clothes. We have these two things called feet. And they've been using them for thousands of years, and they seem to work pretty well. And somewhere along the line, we invented the car, but we think we deserve to have a car. It's our right to have a car. Some of you all turning 14, 15, and you're telling Mom and Dad, can't wait till the time I have a car. I hope you have a big bank account, son. And so there is an assumption here that if you're going to ask, you understand what your needs are. You have a right account. You all need to get serious about your life and about your needs. And there's an assumption there that you're going to be having a little talk with God. I remember that spiritual song. Let me see if I can get it right. My brain's not working real well this morning. Jesus on the main line, tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line, tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line, tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line now. I guess that's right. Close enough. Well, there's a part of truth in that. Jesus is on the main. He hears our prayers. But it's not about telling him what we want. It's about asking for what we need. Now, I know they didn't intend that, but that theology in that song is a little bit off, and we have to be careful that our needs is what's being talked about here, our needs. And so to ask means you're going to have a little talk with God, and you're going to be understand what are my needs. And so when you ask for those things, God is going to bless you with a good gift. Now, you can never out give God. Oh God, I've been giving my tithes to the church. Pastor Tom said I was going to get blessed. And here my car's broken down and I don't have no job. Guess what? If you will ask in faith, God will give you a good gift. He will. Now you have to be patient. There's some folks here, they've waited 2 years for a job. 2 years. Some people three. Some people been in a job and out of a job, been in a job and out of a job. There's some people that are still waiting. Why are you complaining? You see, again, we think we have a right. God, I need a job and I want it right now. Okay, so we have the ask. It assumes that we correctly know what our needs are and we have a responsibility in asking. Watch the progression. You're asking. Then the next, he says, seek. The word seek means to inquire, to look carefully, to be looking carefully. It's interesting how this works. We seek when we really need something, don't we? Otherwise, we're like, hey God, having a good day here, thank you, see you tonight. But when you get in needs, man, oh God, oh Father, in the name of Jesus, would you please meet my needs? Lord, I'm seeking, I'm looking, Lord, I've looked in the paper. Well, I could go on and on, it's not necessary. You know what I'm saying? Some of you need a job and you're sitting back waiting for it somehow to plop in your lap. Let me tell you a little bit, and I'm not trying to pat myself on the back because I did it basically out of fear. But there's been several times that I've been laid off from jobs. Did you know that? I think I've mentioned it maybe. But there's been times I've been laid off from jobs. There's been times I've been fired from jobs. We moved down to North Carolina and I guess it was 94 or 95, I can't remember the date, but got down there, had a job promise, was there for a couple months, and I got let go. That was humiliating. I was angry. In fact, I stormed out of that place. I said, listen, you don't need me. You won't see me. I'll be out of here so fast you'll wonder where I went. Real good attitude, right? But you know what I did? Do you think I went home and sat in my chair and said, God, I guess you got to get me a job now? I'm waiting, God. I'm asking. No. You know what I did? I went from job site to job site, construction site to I was seeking. I was looking. I was demanding. I don't recommend that. Well, I'm just being honest. I badgered those guys. They were either going to give me a job or tell me to get lost. Most of them told me to get lost. I needed work. I had a family to support. And I went from job site to job site until somebody gave me some work. I was seeking. And God was gracious enough to work with this brash, arrogant young man. And He gave me some work. And they gave me some more work. And then He led me to a different job. And I was learning how to seek Him. But I was inquiring. I was looking. Y'all can't sit back for your needs and just say, God, I'm waiting for You to plop them in my lap. You got to seek. You seek Him and you seek opportunities. Next, He says, ask and seek and then what? Knock. The word knock here means to rap vigorously, energetically, adamantly. I want an answer. God, I'm asking. I have a need. I'm seeking. I'm knocking. I'm not going to give up until You give me an answer, Lord. Jesus taught that parable about persistence, right? Remember the woman who wanted justice, and she would not leave the judge alone. She harassed Him day and night until He gave her justice. Don't miss the point. It simply means to be persistent. Don't give up. Knock until you receive an answer. Jesus said, knock, and the door what? Will be open to you. Now, it may be door number one. It may be door number two. It may be door number three. You remember that old show? What was that? Let's Make a Deal. Remember? The wrong door, you opened it, and there's a shriveled peach on the table there sitting for you. Over here is a vacation in the right door, and over here is, you know, something terrible. I used to love that. You'd open the door, and they'd see this old guy on a big tricycle or something like that, wheeling around. Remember that? My memory's not that bad. You know, sometimes you're going to get door number three. And that's God's will. You all didn't hear that, did you? Sometimes you're going to get door number three that has the shriveled up peach sitting on the table, and you're going to be like, what? God, what is this? And God has a lesson for you that you didn't want to learn, and you ran from it the last time He tried to teach you. And guess what? He's brought it back again. And He wants you to go over and eat that shriveled up peach because you're hungry. That's your need. And He's going to meet your need, but you don't like that shriveled up peach, so you resist. I don't know where I got that from. It just kind of came up. My point is, I'm trying to say, when you knock, God will answer. Sometimes it won't be the door that you like or want. Sometimes He's going to give you something that doesn't look right to you. Just, this cannot be your answer, God. This can't be right. And sometimes it's going to be a gift that looks good. It is good, humanly speaking. Other times it's not going to look so good to us. But God will answer. He will open the door. And you see, when we do that, when we entrust ourselves to God, and you eat the shriveled up peach, and it meets your needs, you're like, I don't like this, God. Give me a shriveled up peach. Mean. Nasty to me. But you see, it's about our growing. You see, part of our need is to grow up. I'm talking to myself here. So many times I act so immature. You know, it's like, you know, Father, I've been walking with You so many years, and here I still am whining like a little kid, crying. You know, I want what I want, and when I don't get it, because I want to spend it on my pleasures, right? As the Word just said there. And some of y'all, you get some money. You've been asking God for a job, and you get some money, and what do you do with it? I know I'm moving into meddling here, but I'm going to do it anyway. I drove in the car with somebody the other day. Somebody that's going through some tough times, and you know, they just don't have a whole lot of money, and they're in need, and so on. And, you know, I get in their car, and here's an Xbox game laying in there. Go back here. There's a couple of DVD movies they're laying down there in the car. Back then, there's a couple of CDs, you know? I think they're like the newest releases. I can't even know who the artists are. Is it Snoopy Doopy Dog or something like that? I wouldn't know what's new from old. But, you know, some of y'all, you get some money, and then you go out and you rent 5 videos. You waste your money on 5 or 6 DVDs. And then, you're foolish enough you don't get them back on time, you get late fees. And you wonder why you don't have any money. You wonder why you can't make enough in your budget for your gas, your electric. Or you go out to places like McDonald's and you blow $15 or $20 with the kids on a meal. First of all, that stuff's poison for you. You won't need to be embalmed when you die because that stuff does the job for you. But you go out and you blow, you know, that kind of money on it. And then you wonder why you don't have enough money. I know. I'm moving into meddling. Let's move on. Number 2. As we read verses 9 through 10 here, Jesus now gives us an analogy. To make his point, Jesus gives us an analogy from good human parents. Now, I have to put that caveat in there, right? Because we all know that there are many parents today that are not good. There are many parents today. Jesus is talking about, generally speaking, good human parents do this. I understand that there are exceptions and there are some bad parents. We know that just from looking at the news these days. Verse 9, which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? You see the human analogy? Good parents give good gifts to their kids who ask for their needs. That's the human analogy. And so, Jesus says, verse 11, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Now, this is just a little aside. What is Jesus saying there about the nature of man? Though you are evil. There are many today that, oh, man is good. And society, we're going to progress. And, you know, it's going to be utopia. And, you know, it's all going to be karma. Everything's going to be wonderful. And our society is going to move so that there'll be no poverty and there'll be no hunger, no famine, no wars. Baloney. Because the heart of man is evil. The Proverbs, it says, the heart of man is wicked, desperately wicked. Who can know it? We don't even understand our own hearts. Our motivation is so mixed. And so he says, you know, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who whine? Isn't that what it says? I'm just making sure you're awake. To those who ask him. So he goes right back full circle. He gives us an analogy, an illustration here. Then verse number 3. Verses 11 and 12. So, our Father is going to give us good gifts. And as we compare verses 11 and 12, it doesn't seem to make sense, right? Jesus says, so in everything do to others what you'd have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. Wait a minute, Jesus, you just shifted gears on me. What are you saying there? You see, the way that God blesses us is the way then in turn we are to bless others. The way that God is relating to us, blessing us, being kind and gracious to us, so in turn, that is the way we are to be towards others. Isn't it interesting how we are very generous with ourselves and our own needs? I mean, after I left the hospital with my father Friday night, I got there late. By the time I got there, I went through 3 thunderstorms. It's terrible. Traffic slowing to a crawl. You know, a 3-hour trip took about 5 hours. So, got to the hospital, the visiting hours were over already. I was determined to go see my pop. And so I went in and I just kind of walked right on past the desk there. I didn't say a word. I just went right for the elevator. So I went up and got to see my pop. And of course, the shift nurse was in the room and she's like, what are you doing here? How'd you get in here? I said, I walked. I just, that's all I said. And she's like, well, you're not supposed to be here. But she said, well, don't stay long. And so I was able to stay with my pop and visit with him for a little bit. Afterwards, as I left the hospital, I turned around the corner, and there before me was Ciano's Pizza. And you know me and pizza. I had to stop. And, you know, I didn't think twice about spending, I don't know, I can't remember what it was, $4, $5, $6 on a couple slices of pizza. By the way, he slipped me in another one, a third. I was a blessed man. I didn't eat all three that night. I had two, and then I ate the next one the next morning for breakfast. But I didn't think twice about, you know, whatever it was, $5, $6, $7, I don't even remember. I didn't think twice about it. And you know, there are times our brothers and sisters are in need, and they don't want to ask. I mean, it's humiliating when you're in need, isn't it not? And we have all been there at times, at least I hope you, because if you haven't, you will be. God's going to allow it. But it's humiliating. You don't want to ask. And our brothers and sisters are in need, and how do we respond? Be in peace. God bless you. Bye. And we're so stingy. We're so cheap at times. When God is so lavish with us, God has given His all for us. He's lavished us with the grace of Christ. Amen? First John, I think it's chapter 2. See how great a love the Father has lavished upon us that we should be called children of God. He has lavished His grace upon us. He's lavished His blessings upon us. And He lavishes good gifts upon us when we need. And then when our brothers and sisters come to us, or maybe it's not even a brother or sister, maybe it's just somebody we know, somebody we interact with, and they have a need, and we're like, oh, I don't have any money for that. I don't have any time for that. I can't help you. Sorry. I'm too busy. I got my own needs to deal with. I got my own problems to deal with. I got my own financial struggles. Why are we like that? And you see, that's why Jesus is talking about this here. He says, the way God blesses you, the way He has lavished His love upon you and His good gifts upon you, now, you in turn, go and be just like that towards your brothers and sisters. You see it? You see the connection? Be that way towards your brothers and sisters. Why is it that we can be in plenty and our brothers and sisters are in need and we think that's okay? Well, you know, I have only a little extra money, but I need to keep it for myself. Why? Why can't you go without so that your brother and sister's need could be met? And, you know, this is just one little example I'm trying to give. Jesus says, give to others. Do to others the way that you would have them do to you. And in so doing, watch this, in so doing, you fulfill all of the law and the prophets. The whole intent of God's law, of our relationships with one another. You fulfill it. When we have a heart for the needs of our brothers and sisters, when we, in our heart, want to do for them as God has done for us, we fulfill the law and the prophets. All the intent of the law of God's blessings towards each other, God's relationship towards each other. Jesus, in saying this, moves us away from ourselves. Moves our needs away from ourselves to others. Because it's not just about you and me. It's not just about my needs. It's about all of our needs. My brothers and sisters here in the body. I can't remember. I think maybe it was Park that said, what if God treated us, gave us His Son, gave us His grace in the way that we sometimes are willing to give? We'd be in a lot of trouble, wouldn't we? We'd be a mess. Aren't you glad you have a loving Heavenly Father who gives you good gifts? He gives you and me good gifts. We don't deserve them, but He loves us so much He meets our needs. Not our wants, our needs. And you know what? Every once in a while, He does give us our wants, our desires of our heart, right? Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you what? The desires of your heart. And then we in turn can be rich towards each other. Bless one another with all the needs that we have. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you love us so much, that you've given us your Son. Lord, you've sent your Son for every one of us to die on the cross, that we could receive your forgiveness, receive your love and mercy, and know you as our Abba, our Daddy, our Father. Such love escapes our understanding, Lord. And we know that your word says you've promised us that you will meet our needs. You will bless us. You desire to give good gifts. Father, I pray for each one of us here today that you would strengthen our faith. Lord, there's some of us here that are struggling. The last thing I want is that this message end up as a guilt trip. I don't want that, Lord. I want you, out of revelation of the Holy Spirit, that you build up these people in their faith. Build them up in their inner being, in their spirit man. That they would have such a confidence in you, our Abba, our Daddy, to know you're going to meet our needs, Lord. And then, Lord, to know that you're going to use each one of us in that process. Lord, there's some people here that have needs, and Lord, you're waiting for us to shake it loose. You're waiting for us to meet and bless those needs. So, Father, we lay ourselves before you. I bless these people for their patience, for their attention to your word. We give you honor and glory because you're worthy of all our praise. And we pray this in Jesus' precious, precious and holy name. Amen.